Welcome to another podcast of Coffee with Mike and Nick and Don. We're going to be discussing a number of topics this morning. I hope you find it interesting. Okay, so this is Halloween is tomorrow. This is the 30th.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of a...
We're coming up to the end of 2021, another disastrous year, kind of coming off the pandemic year of 2020.
Yeah, are we really off of it yet?
Not really.
I mean, we've still got the anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers. About, well, what is it, 70% of Republicans believe that it's a violation of their personal rights to have a mandate saying they have to wear a mask when they go into a grocery store or into a work environment.
Right. Yeah. It's a contentious issue. Clearly these are mostly hyper individualists. Which makes sense. These are people that are firmly committed to maintaining their freedoms.
Well, their perceived idea of freedom.
Yeah.
Which flies in the face of all rationality in terms of what's best for the society as a whole.
Yeah.
These people don't have any empathy or compassion for anyone but themselves and their own freedoms, their own ability to scream and yell at anyone about anything that they can think of, trumps any other freedom that anyone else they're screaming and yelling at seems to have. This is what I see happening anyway. And it's destroying our society, of course. It's destroying our ability to trust scientific, truthful sources of information.
You know, I mean, it must just be right-wing drivel. It could be. But I haven't looked into the masking issue in a while. But I haven't looked at the science. And I've never even really officially looked at the scientific material. But I thought that the science went both ways on the masks. I thought that studies came out showing, some things came out that masks were not good, and then some came out. We're living in a mess of information. Well, so, you know.
Here's where the confusion comes from. When the pandemic first started, there was a shortage of masks. Because the stockpile of masks that Obama had created had been eliminated by Trump.
Yeah.
And along with the preparations to fight a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So there was a shortage of masks, and the doctors and the medical professionals were the ones that needed them.
Right.
And so Fauci and some of the people at the NIH
strategically tried to move people away from going after the masks wildly.
Well, what they were saying is that viruses are so small that they can go right through the material of a normal mask. And this is before they started coming out with all of the better masks.
Not the N95, though,
yeah,
correct?
Right. Right.
The N95, just for the sake of the listeners, the N95 mask does effectively protect you against viral transmission.
Much better than the little blue...
Much better?
Paper one that you see a lot of people wearing.
Any idea how much better?
It's about 90% more effective.
90%, okay, that's pretty good.
I think, yeah. And anyway... So at first there was a shortage of masks, and so they kind of said, well, it doesn't hurt to wear a mask, but be prepared to wash your hands and maintain distance from people and all the other things as well. If you combine all of those other precautions and avoiding crowds and so forth, you do greatly reduce your chance of contracting the disease.
Right.
But and so that was what they said at first, but they said, if you got a mask and you want to wear it, fine, go ahead, it won't hurt. But here's the thing, that position was...
changed.
Yeah, it changed.
It was a strategic,
early on.
It was a strategic position in order to conserve masks for medical
right.
for medical professionals.
Right, and once the supply of masks began to increase, at that point you saw the position of the CDC and Fauci begin to change as well, saying, all right, now we got these masks, everybody needs to wear them. Wear a mask when you're in public. And what they were predicating that position on, too, was the research that had been going on since the pandemic started into other countries that were wearing masks. And what we saw is that they were experiencing far less infection rates.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, the masks were working. So
I saw a video at one point a couple of months ago of Fauci literally taking every position, like on bold, like just taking every position.
Yeah, but that's
on various issues.
That's cherry picking and his comments and putting them all together to make him look like an idiot. The right wing, for some reason, decided under Trump to try to make Fauci look like a complete fool, and the reason was he was contradicting what Trump was saying.
Yeah.
On this issue.
Yeah.
Trump hates it when anybody contradicts him. Yeah. And he also hates it when anyone seems to be, recognizes a greater authority on anything than himself.
Right.
And that when that person is more the center of attention than him.
Right.
Don't forget, Trump was a narcissist.
Deeply malignant.
An egotistic fool.
Right.
And... he was also a compulsive liar, of course, and he has no compunction whatsoever against lying
right.
all the time.
Right.
But anyway, so don't trust anything what the Trump says, and that what and the right wing Trump supporters
right.
what they say
right.
about this topic.
Yeah.
You can't trust him. Simple. But as far as Fauci contradicting himself, it's been pointed out many times that this is how science works. Science starts out with a premise and then is open to proving that premise wrong and continues to gather data and information as the time goes on and changes its position on topics. This is always the way science has worked.
Yeah, right.
So what you saw with Fauci is that process in action on live TV. Mm-hmm. So the right-wingers deny science and hate science and because it contradicts their biblical view of the universe. And they chose, basically, to ignore it all, ignore everything Fauci said, and to make him look like the fool that Trump was trying to make him look like the fool.
Mm-hmm.
And so keep that in mind whenever you see any articles online that are denigrating Fauci.
Right. And
Fauci has... what's he got, 50 years or something of experience in virology? The guy's one of the most educated and knowledgeable people in this field on the face of the planet.
Yeah.
And he's recognized not just in America, but all over the world.
Yeah, but he asserted some off-base views about AIDS back when AIDS
there again, we didn't know what AIDS was when it started to be recognized as a pandemic.
Right.
So, I mean, anytime you have a new virus and coronavirus, the COVID-19, it was a new virus.
We have to be prepared to be wrong.
Yes, yeah. You have to be open to... forming ideas and testing them and tossing out the ones that don't work and moving on to something that works better. That's the process, and that's what was happening with AIDS. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that people that were not, in America anyway, we assumed it was a disease of the gay people. Mm-hmm. Whereas it had been spreading throughout Africa for a long time before it got to America among all different genders mm-hmm. and sexual provocations and so
forth. Right, right, right.
So it was not... definitely not just a gay disease. Right. But at first...
I don't think that's what he espoused, but I think it was something a little different.
No,
but
he did. That's a religious position. Let's face it, the right wings hate right wingers hate.
No,
they're homophobic, and they just assume every gay and lesbian person on the planet wiped out.
Yeah,
so that's their position.
Right now,
and that's one reason we were so slow to start developing a vaccine against AIDS and everything else, because there was a big chunk of Americans that were very gleeful that this was happening.
Right. Now, I hate to change the subject so dramatically, but I noticed something online last night, an article from the Associated Press. I noted the headline. I didn't read the article, but the headline said something along the lines of the intelligence community admitting that they don't know that they will ever figure out the origins of COVID-19.
Intelligence committee?
Community.
Well, it's the medical community that needs to do that.
Yeah, but the intelligence community is the one that is tasked with determining the origin of COVID-19. The origin.
And how many of those people investigating that are doctors?
I don't know, but they...
Yeah, well, see, it doesn't make any sense. Here's the problem with doing what you just did. What you just told me is that you read a headline for an article, and although you didn't bother to read the article, you've got this vast opinion now on what you think the article may have said. And if you ever spend your time actually reading articles,
you learn that the headlines are way different.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know that.
So how can we have a discussion about something that neither one of us read the article? The headline don't count.
Well,
you
got
to read the article.
Right, but this is something that I've been tracking for a while now. Okay, I've been paying attention to this.
Oh, to headlines, you mean?
Well, yeah.
Good for you.
I read all the headlines.
Headlines are intended to draw you in to read the article. You realize that, right?
I read all the headlines.
Good
and
for
just,
you.
And then I spread it out there.
Well,
and
sadly, about 85% of Americans do the same thing.
Yeah, just piss everybody off. And
act
like
they
don't know
what they're talking about.
Like
they're too lazy to do the work.
I know. Well,
of reading
the
damn article.
I do read some articles. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I read from time to time.
Which one was that in the last 6 months?
Well, no. So anyways, I was, I've been looking, obviously we've been looking at the origins of the COVID-19 virus. And I think it was back in the beginning of the summer is when Biden tasked the intelligence community with discovering the origins of COVID-19. And
the intelligence community has no way to go to the infectious disease research facilities in China to try to do... I mean, they're not even going to get access to that facility because they're not medical scientists. The Chinese government is a communist government. They're in conflict. They're our adversary.
Right.
They're not going to be open to allowing our intelligence officials wandering around their country for any reason.
Right. Okay, well, either way, I think that... if the intelligence community has failed to determine the origins of the COVID-19 virus, I think that is either incompetence or corruption. Because I think that it's
easy.
Well,
that's quite a presumption to make.
Yeah, I know.
What are you basing that opinion on?
Just my vast, overwhelming authority.
Have you read the articles, the lengthy articles published in medical journals, like The Lancet, for instance?
I've read
about the origins of what we know for sure about the origins.
I've read some of the articles, and here's what I've noticed. I think just like every other issue, this issue became convoluted with lies and misinformation. Because I read some of the articles.
It only does that because we allow it to happen. You realize that?
Yeah, well... It's a global. We've got
a society that embraces conspiracy theories at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, but wait, you can. Yeah, I agree. You can say that, but Michael,
it's true.
Michael, the truth is that we are engaged in a global information war, and it has been going on for.
We're only engaged in an information war because of the tendency of most human beings to not read the articles and just read the headlines and to attach themselves to conspiracy theories. So that, there's a war for truth going on.
So you're contending that if the public and the lay people would simply educate themselves more and read more and inform themselves better, you don't think that we would be engaged? See, I think that when you insert lies and misinformation, it doesn't matter how educated, how informed people are, because that's the whole purpose of lies and misinformation, is you take people who know what they're talking about and know what's real, and then you confuse those. You start... The whole purpose of lies and misinformation is to confuse the authorities. It's
well,
not
if you're talking about propagandists, yes.
Yeah.
But...
Well, that's what's happening.
That's a different issue of the propaganda that's being spread. The origins either by Russian hackers or whatever, by our own selves. But
well, the origins of the COVID-19 virus, to me, it seemed... I mean, it like, at one point, it was... I read in an article on Yahoo News, it was an article you had forwarded to me, mm-hmm. so I trust that it was a good article. Not only that, I noted that when I read through the article, I noted that the authorities cited in the article were... They seemed sound as far as... a geopolitical issue like COVID-19, but also in the form of medical professionals, scientific professionals. So these are proper authorities to be citing for this subject. But and mind you, this was like months ago. Although I can pull it up on my Facebook if I needed to retrieve the exact information and details, but they determined that based on the genetic sequencing of the virus and everything, that it didn't come from an animal. It definitely was it. Now, I'm not asserting that it was, this is not an assertion that it was a bioweapon, created as a bioweapon, because I'm not prepared to assert a strong position on that. I take a neutral position on the idea that it's a bioweapon, because that's where you step into the realm of conspiracy theory, correct? Would you agree?
Well, it depends on what the evidence says.
Right.
We do know for a fact that countries like Russia and America and China probably have been working to develop bioweapons.
Right. So what I'm saying is that I do believe that the Wuhan lab was engaged in gain-of-function research.
And what do you mean by that?
Gain-of-function?
Yeah, define what I hear that term being tossed around a lot by Trumpers who
who
don't know what the hell they're talking about.
It means that they're trying to manipulate and engineer the DNA sequencing of a virus so that it can the purpose, I'll tell you what the purpose of gain-of-function research is instead of telling you what it is, because I'm not a scientist. The purpose of gain-of-function research is so that you can... the purpose of gain-of-function research... I knew at one point what it was. But the purpose of gain-of-function research is so that you can test what would happen if a virus with a certain function would, if it attacks a bioorganism, a biological organism, what will happen, and then how do scientists study this process so that they can learn how to treat it in case there's ever an outbreak of a virus that possesses functioning that we've never encountered before. That's the purpose of gain-of-function research. Obviously, that's not my best. That's not coming from somebody who has been, you know.
Okay, so according to the definition I find online.
There we go.
Medical News, Life Sciences. What is gain-of-function research? It says that gain-of-function research refers to the serial passaging of microorganisms to increase their transmissibility,
right,
virulence, immunogenicity, and host tropism, whatever that is.
Host what?
Tropism.
Trope.
by applying selective pressure to a culture. In other words, well,
okay. Can you look up tropism? Yeah.
Tropism.
That might be
well, a good, they'll probably describe
it. Might be a good word.
If you read the whole article, it goes into all of that stuff.
I mean, it just might be a good word to know.
This is performed in a research context all the time.
Yeah.
To understand the way in which a pathogen adapts to environmental pressures.
Right.
Allowing disease control measures to be better planned and potential vaccines and therapies to be explored.
Right. Right.
Gene editing technology such as CRISPR may be utilized in combination with selective serial passaging to investigate the role of specific genes on protein expression and ultimate organism function.
Right. Now,
gain-of-function studies are most usually applied in virology and have revealed many details regarding the biological mechanisms behind virus transmission and replication.
Right.
So it's gain of function. When I hear my, and I don't have that many, but I have just a few remaining friends who happen to be Trumpers.
Yeah.
Every time they use the term gain of function, they're using it like it's a
bioweapon.
No, not that lad. Like that process in itself proves that the virus was manufactured in China because they employed gain of function research.
No, yeah.
All medical research facilities doing research on virology use it.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to figure out, okay, now if we have this virus and it escapes into the public. What are the most probable, likely consequences, and what can we do to diminish and mitigate those consequences?
Let me just connect a few dots. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me just connect a few dots here because I think that a Trumper, without disparaging Trumpers out there. I just think, you know, there's a lot of right-wing elements that seem to be less educated and less interested in science. But
let me have you pause here, because we're actually discussing three different topics here that I can see.
Right.
One is the virus itself and how it came to be.
Right.
The other, and one of the other most critical pandemic issues we've got going on now with human beings is the human tendency to view their own opinions as just as important and valuable as
a scientific
fact.
Right.
Opinions. And when you said earlier, you think that lay people should be able to investigate this stuff on their own and decide whether or not a scientific.
No, I thought that's what you were saying.
No, you said it. I sat here and listened to you. A scientific statement is true or not. This is a fallacy. This basic premise of this idea that a lay person should be able to do a little research online and read a few articles and suddenly have as much wisdom as someone who spent 10 years getting a PhD in this field and then practicing for 10 or 20 or, in Fauci's case, 35 years is ludicrous.
Right. Well, that's why
people are lay people.
Yeah.
The definition of a lay person is someone who is not involved in that field.
Yeah.
And therefore, if there's a conflict between an opinion of a lay person and a scientist, the lay person is wrong by default.
Yeah. I mean, well, generally. Yeah.
And we have a whole, probably 40% of Americans don't understand that.
Okay, so the reason gain-of-function research is a contentious issue for me is not because I think gain-of-function research is evil. I think it's probably a good thing. I believe in science.
Now you say that, because I just read you the definition.
Well,
before that, you were probably one of those people that, oh no, they use gain of function, so therefore, obviously, that's the evidence we need to show that the smoking gun, that this was actually manufactured as a bioweapon.
No. But I just said that a bioweapon is not my assertion.
No, but there's a lot of people who do think that. I'm not just attacking you.
Okay.
I'm attacking them.
There's just a few things. Now, I was a little bit better well-versed on this in the middle of the summer, and it was more...
You thought you were.
Well, it was more on the... Well, it wasn't my opinion, right? It's the opinions of doctors and scientists that I'm using to prop up my ideas. But...
selectively choosing which ones to pick, that's another problem.
I would
agree. 99% of all scientists agree that on all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But you can go online and find that 1% of alleged scientists and doctors who are wacko and are making money off of their screwball ideas,
Michael,
by selling books and
most crap. Most of the information I'm about to use to simply converse with you is information that you provided to me. So I'm not...
I'm not... But you should have done a little more research than just what I sent you, for Pete's sake.
I do. But no, what I'm saying... Well, here's what I'm saying. The reason gain of function is relevant for me on this topic, for me personally, and probably a lot of other people, I think if they actually... I'm not talking about the people that believe in God.
And you speak as a layperson who doesn't know what tropism is. Okay, go ahead.
You don't know what it is either.
That's that point. That's my point. I, too, am a layperson. The difference is, I trust the scientists.
Well, I trust the scientists.
Don't need to know everything there is to know.
So
what I do know is that scientists can be trusted to deliver the truth to us most of the time.
Right. Here's what I remember learning. I remember learning that it was determined that it was unlikely that it came from an animal.
No, that's not what you learned. That's what you read somewhere. That some guy came up with this idea.
In an authoritative article.
But if you read the article, it also says, we don't know yet.
Right,
we missed that part.
Right, but we... Yeah, but,
in other words, the way a scientific method works is you throw these hypotheses out there, numerous, and then you start eliminating them one by one.
Well,
so I agree, but I'm just saying, like, you have a Wuhan lab in Wuhan, where in Wuhan there were various occurrences that preceded the COVID-19 pandemic. China started taking precautions against a viral pandemic before the rest of the world.
Now, what does that mean?
It means that China knew about it.
Knew about it when it started spreading.
When it started spreading. That's all I'm saying. I'm not...
Well, it makes sense they would know about it first. It started there. Come on, man.
Yeah, but you can't extrapolate. I have to be able to lay out the dots and then don't extrapolate. Don't just look at the facts. Don't extrapolate. But... there's a Wuhan lab. They do gain of function research at that lab.
Just like our labs do too.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I don't think it was a bioweapon. I think it was an accident.
And that's possible.
Yeah, but what I don't like, Mike, the corruption that I see, the thing that I see is that if you accidentally release a virus that was a result of gain of function research, you should take responsibility for it.
Yeah, but that's you're talking like an American. These people are the Wuhan lab was in China. China is a
totalitarian
regime.
Right, so they
regime,
lie, cheat, and steal, and hide,
and they manipulate facts to fit their own.
And they're amoral.
That's just the way they are.
Yeah. So well, either that's what I'm saying is that the world. Every single country in the world except China needs to hold China accountable.
And what by the, doing that, what are you going to accomplish?
Accomplish.
What's
like,
the goal?
You
want to get money from them?
No. This is the ultimate global perspective. I am going to act like the ultimate globalist here, and provide a more liberal perspective than most liberals, but. You remove corruption from the world. That's what you do.
And who's going to be in charge of doing this? America, the most corrupt country on the face of the planet right now?
It would be the United Nations?
Nobody trusts?
It would be a coalition of...
But you're coming up with an idea for a... a more perfect universe.
Well, what's
what we have is what we're living in right now.
Let me ask you. Let me
expectations have to be based on reality.
What's the point of letting China get away with all their nonsense? What's the point?
That's you're asking the wrong question.
Okay.
The question should be, what can we do about it?
Right.
Nothing.
Why not?
So there, we're not talking about the point. Well, we're talking about the fact we have no ability to control what goes on in China.
Why?
Because they're China. They're not America.
We've been controlling the world for 300 years.
Why no, we haven't. That? No, we haven't. We've been operating under the delusion that we think we can. That's different.
Right.
And it hasn't been 300 years. It's only been since the end of World War II, by the way.
Yeah. That's true.
And even then, we screwed it up at every opportunity.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, look at Vietnam. We were going to control China, keep them from spreading south.
Yeah,
no, that didn't work.
You're right.
No, Vietnam's one of the nicer places to go for vacation.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I just, China's going to do what they're going
to
do.
Yes, that's the point I'm trying to make and get you to agree to.
Yeah.
Before we can proceed further on the conversation, we have to have a certain set of basic premises we agree on.
Yeah.
And what I see within your comments a lot is that you think that if we raise enough hell about China, something's going to change. That's not going to happen.
It's a distraction.
The only thing that'll change is us. If we accept that, for instance, that China did this with their lab, and let's say they intentionally were creating something they might want to consider using as a bioweapon in the future. If that's what they were doing, they were sure doing a sloppy job of it, because they infected their own people immediately, and it got way out of control before they could begin to try to control it. And then it started spreading to the rest of the world. And so that's the most sloppy production of a bioweapon that's ever been done.
Yeah.
More likely, therefore, what was happening is they were doing gain-of-function research on a virus just like all the other medical, CDC.
And then it accidentally leaked out.
What some of that intelligence that you were talking about earlier has revealed is that there were 13, I believe the number was 13, employees at this lab that came down with the illness and they were working at the lab, so there's an assumption that might be made is that they contracted it at the lab.
Yeah.
So that is not an intentional thing on the part of China to do anything.
Wait.
It's a sloppiness that happened in their lab.
Why are you pushing the intentional bioweapon?
Because a lot of right-wingers have been doing that for a long time. Ever since this started,
right.
That was the background.
We're not talking to only right-wingers.
I don't care who we're talking to. We're talking to anyone who wants to listen. But mainly, we're talking to each other.
Yeah, but I've said multiple times, I don't think it was intentional. I don't think they intentionally... I don't think it was a bioweapon.
Good for you. Okay.
I mean, yeah. Well, I wasn't sure if you heard me, Mike.
I've heard you both several times.
Okay.
That's not the point. The point is we're exploring different options that could have happened with this scenario.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
That was one of the options.
Well, the intentional bioweapon idea is something that
if you exclude that,
I think you can put it
got left is just negligence.
Yeah, I think it's negligence.
And unless it's intentional, holding another country responsible for accidentally releasing a virus into the community is not really very logical. I mean, what are you going to do? Go to war with them? You're going to ask them to pay reparations? I mean, America has done the same thing. Indians were wiped out by the early settlers giving them blankets with smallpox?
Michael, you're overlooking the value of transparency. And a global society will never be possible without transparency.
You're overlooking the fact that transparency is not always possible.
Why would China not be able to take responsibility for...
Because they don't have a transparent society.
Right. Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
This expectation of transparency and accountability is a unique product of American delusion. This idea that we have a Senate and a Congress in place to provide oversight to the other branches of government,
right,
and to call them to account whenever they violate their obligations to the American people.
Yeah.
It, we see for a fact, especially under Trump, that that is simply not happening on a regular basis at all.
Well, I mean, the reason I think the way I do is because my vision for the future of Earth, which, I mean, I'm not like, you know, like, I'm just saying, like, based on history, a quick look at history and governments and oppression and tyranny, authoritarian regime is dangerous not only to its own people but also to the rest of the world. I believe,
is it really?
I believe that.
Let's take a moment and address what you just said. Here's a position for you. Democracy is poisonous. Because the people have to be...
Direct or representative democracy.
Well, we have a democratic republic here in this country where we elect representatives to go to the Congress and represent our will in Congress. Yep. For us, yeah, because, yeah, of course, with 360 million people, you can't ever...
You can't do a direct run.
Doing, yeah. So it's just not practical. So yeah, the most practical approach is this republic representative constitutional government.
Right.
And so what we have then, we have this idea that it's one vote, one person. But actually, when we represent a representative... Their one vote is representing a lot of people, not one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how's that working for us?
Not good.
Yeah. Why? Why do you think it's not working well?
Because you get 100 million dumb people voting similarly.
That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is why Socrates was put to death, had to drink poison and die,
yeah,
because the state accused him of undermining their power.
By enlightening people.
By enlightening people to the fact,
yeah,
that a democracy can only work well if the voters are educated.
Yeah.
And ethical.
Yeah.
And moral.
Yeah.
And in our system, we have allowed everybody, regardless of how unethical and immoral and stupid they are, not only to vote, but also to run for office and get elected.
So how does... Let me ask you a question.
So what's better? That stupid system that's causing corruption to run rampant? Or an authoritarian system based on Western liberal democratic ideals?
In other words, their opinions.
I think tyranny in any form needs to be removed. Always.
So you think that...
Forever.
A benevolent king, the idea of a benevolent king is an illusion that can never happen? Is that
no, what no. I think what you... I think the actual solution, what you're saying, which, I mean, okay, like, I mean, this is opening up a whole nother book, but the actual solution is not to empower the authorities. The actual solution is to... create and motivate a culture of informed, moral, and ethically sound people. That's what I think. I think
Do you believe in a government ruled by the majority or the minority?
It depends who has the moral high ground.
Oh, there you go. And who's going to make that call?
Not the government.
The Christians?
Not the government.
The evangelical Christians?
I look, if you think America has a major issue with religion and culture and values, I would agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you.
But I don't think it. It's true.
I agree. The solution is not authoritarianism or tyranny.
So is the solution then to continue to allow ourselves to be ruled by the minority?
No.
That's what's happening right now. No. The Republicans are gerrymandering the voting districts to make sure that they are guaranteed to win, when in fact, the vast majority of Americans are liberals, not conservatives.
Well, okay, so hold on. Let me ask you a question. How does secularism empower and motivate people to embody higher ethical and moral standards for themselves and the people around them?
So embodied in your question is the presumption, I think, that you can't have an ethical, moral government unless it's founded on God.
No. That's not the position I'm taking.
Well, secularism is the opposite of the theocracy.
But secularism has ethical and moral values that our society needs. But we also are living in the end of an age where our civilization and our prosperousness was built on a certain culture. I would say you could say
All right.
We have created prosperousness and success, organization, and our civilization is based on Judeo-Christian values and principles. What I'm saying, what I think, is that
When you say civilization, are you talking about American, the state of United States of America?
What you focus and concentrate on, as you should, is the mess that is created by religion.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is that we need some kind of... You do not empower the authorities with more authority. Our enlightened founders purposely created the Constitution so that we don't do that. What I'm saying is that we need, like,
How's that working for us?
Well, it could be better if we could figure out how to take the best of Judeo-Christian culture and blend it effectively with secular values.
The problem with that, excuse me, Don.
Like, remove the religion.
The Judeo-Christian people won't allow that to happen. They have absolutely no respect for secular ideas.
Well, Mike, if you're...
They see no separation between church and state. In their mind, there isn't a separation.
Well, Mike, if you're right, then the people will force them to wake up. The people, not the government, the people.
No, the people gave the people in power to decide for them. Once they voted for them,
they're supposed to... Come over and sit over here so we can hear you better, Don. You're too far away.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I came across this...
Don't read anything. Just tell us what you think about the secular versus theocracy.
Say what you're going to...
Secular versus theocracy?
No. Say your idea. Say your idea.
Oh, anyway. When you first began, Mike, you mentioned that about wisdom. They needed wisdom. What you really mean, people don't know what wisdom is anymore.
Right.
We've lost touch of that.
We don't know.
We don't have respect for wisdom anymore.
Yeah,
in America. That's part of the problem.
We currently live in a society where you're considered wise if you can figure out how to...
Make some money.
If you can figure out how to make some money. How to game the system. How to undermine...
Which is why Trump got elected by so many people who thought... The fact that he was a con man was a great attribute.
Exactly.
And Christianity thought it was the will of God to put this man in power.
Exactly. Yeah, and that is delusion. Yeah. That is delusion, and that is destructive.
It is destructive, because now, if God's putting presidents of the United States in power, what about Obama? How come these people didn't support him then, when he was in power? How about Biden? How come these Christians aren't supporting him? God put him in power, right?
Ignorant bigots.
They're using God as an excuse for bad behavior. That's all they're doing. Destructive behavior.
Yeah, well...
They really stabbed themselves wherever they were, grew up in, like, say, Alabama or Georgia, to act accordingly so they can get their votes. That's all they want, votes. And they don't care. They've got their money now. They got,
I would say if you really want to understand the essence of Christendom, can I say that? Is that a good word? Christendom?
I guess, but I don't know if it's relevant to our...
South America, too, and Europe.
Christendom, or I would
the
say...
The idea of Christianity.
In America is, I would say it's just, it's a slightly more sophisticated version of militant Islam.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a slightly more sophisticated version. It's a, more
subliminal.
I will.
And that represents the danger of a theocracy-based government versus a secular-based government.
If you remember, if you remember Islam, it started out with an ignorant group of nomads.
Yeah.
And this Muhammad, he couldn't read, right? So it took him like over a decade to get this all written down. I think it was like 20 years, maybe.
I don't think we're experts enough on Islam to be able to be making any statements on it.
Are we? Yeah, we're not really intelligent enough to spout about democracy.
Well, we obviously are, because our founders were, and they bequeathed us a democratic republic. Yeah.
Well,
so we are caught up in the midst of that.
We, the people, have lost track, at least 70% of the Republicans. what Theodore Roosevelt said, we must act with wisdom, or else our adherence to right will be mere sound without substance. So, wisdom, you're talking about, you got to have right knowledge.
You got to behave.
You have the facts. You got to have...
You got to behave. You got to embody wisdom. You can't just think it and talk it.
700 years ago, that by the name of Nagarjuna, he was a Buddhist in India. He said, a good world comes from ethics. Giving brings wealth. Well, that... Republicans don't want that.
But ethics is subjective. Let's face it. Every society develops their own version of an ethical society.
Okay, yeah. So you go... So incest might be fine for some native whatever,
See, I think
people,
that...
But, it's how they work.
We need to retain an ability to judge and classify... And distinguish the value of different cultures. We have to do that. And I think that to a degree, that's where secularism goes wrong. Because I've noticed that most secularists, they do this thing where it's like, oh, you can't judge other people, and that's their culture, and they do what
That's liberalism. That's not secularism.
Right, okay.
Don't confuse the two terms.
Don't confuse the two,
Liberals tend to operate from the basic premise...
They're too nice.
...that everybody is fundamentally good.
Yeah.
And therefore, all we need to do is appeal to their higher nature, and they will be in agreement with our version of good.
Which
is not... working.
You want to know what makes it not true, though? I think what makes it not true? God. That's what makes it not
true.
There
is no God.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
The idea of a God, you mean.
Yeah, but I'm saying that these people, when they have a God, they are no longer the operator, the operating force that animates them. Is not their nature. It's an imagined being.
You have to understand that Christians operate in a universe that is ruled by an autocrat.
Yeah.
They embrace autocracy and tyranny.
Yeah.
So, and they've subjected themselves to that. They've agreed among themselves that this autocrat is real enough to be able to influence every decision that's made, and for sure demands their adherence to all of these things.
I always wondered why, you had the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, but yet then their God says, well, you got to do this, you got to get those.
Well, Jesus, it just proves guys. That Jesus wasn't a Jew. Because the Jews, I mean, they believed that, God had the authority to send out the Jews into battle and completely slaughter other tribes at will.
Yeah.
And in fact, what was likely happening is just like our today, nations are still sending soldiers to other countries and slaughtering everybody in the name of God and country.
Where's that happening?
It happened in Afghanistan. We just pulled out of there. It's happened in Vietnam. It's happened in Iraq.
Yeah.
The godless nation, Saddam is, evil incarnate and all that stuff. The axis of evil. All of these things are biblical terms used to dehumanize those who are not members of your tribe.
Yeah, and
which tribe are
you? Look at the Buddhists, and
we're the tribe of confusion because liberal democracy people are.
No, which tribe are we? Like we need to.
The
we
three
have,
of us.
We have
what
to
difference does that make?
We have to define our tribe.
Tribe of Israel.
You have to define your tribe.
We don't have a tribe.
No. Yeah, but you can't play that game because when you start saying that you don't have a tribe, you're deluding yourself.
We're engaged in a debate with life right now.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, I guess you could say that defines our tribe as being individuals.
Thinkers.
Who are thinkers and, right. And
we are contemplatives. We are the enlightened tribe.
Well, we may not be enlightened, but we're trying to be. We have an idea that if we think long enough and hard enough, we'll think ourselves out of this bad situation, which in itself is a foolish endeavor. Because obviously we're not the first people on the planet to think that.
You have to be the fool before you can be the wise one, though.
Well, all we got to do is read a little bit, and we discover the fools that existed before, and we can learn from their lessons.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I believe in spreading awareness for sure, and that's what we're engaged in. So,
yeah.
I think there's a purpose for what we're doing here. For sure.
I think what we're trying to do through these podcasts and discussions is to stimulate ourselves to invest in truth and in ways of revealing truth.
Yeah.
And hopefully come up with a plan that we can use to define a life that is worth living and meaningful and empathetic to others. And how successful are we going to be in that? I don't have a lot of hope for it, really.
And you don't do that by confronting other religions.
By what?
What
do you mean, confluging?
Conflicting with other religions.
Well, we're not a religion. I don't think the three of us in this room are religious.
Well, we're talking about religion, right?
Well, yeah, we're criticizing religion.
But we're also how to solve the conflict.
Well, one way you solve it is by eliminating religion.
Heads together.
You can't solve the conflict of humanity by refusing to acknowledge the role that religion plays in that.
Or give them a gun and just shoot each other. That's stupid.
Whatever. They're going to do that whether we say anything or not. But humanity is, from what I can see, on a death spiral right now. We're bound and determined to use our intellectual resources to obliterate ourselves from the planet. And we're going to take a lot of animal species with us, and the habitability of this planet is going to be put in danger. And
as if we don't have that problem. enough with the universe.
Well, forget the universe. We can't even learn to control our own little planet here.
Yeah, yeah.
What business have we got thinking about what's happening in the universe?
Yeah, everything seems to be connected, so.
Well, it is all connected, but, I mean, if you're a Jew that's been put in a concentration camp during the Holocaust, awaiting the gas chamber, your focus has to be on surviving from one moment to the next.
Yeah, you're not.
That's worried. It.
Yeah, you're not.
You don't have time to stop and think about what impact religion has on the world. Mm-hmm. You know, you've just, and this is kind of what Trumpism has done to Americans. It's put us in that spot where a good share of us are like we're waiting for the gas chamber.
Yeah.
We just, what do? You know, we're in a state of crisis here.
Yeah.
And these lofty ideals that we like to debate about the nature, what should be the nature of a truly wise, beneficent, liberated society, are just BS right now, because we've fallen so far down the ladder from being able to even reach out and touch that.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous for us.
So what you're saying is that relative reality, we got to be practical. And to be practical, you can't have thugs.
Well, what do you mean by relative reality, Don?
People shouldn't be harmful.
That's relative reality?
That's relative reality.
I think there's more to it than that.
Well, I'm saying, you said you got to start somewhere. Well, there's a
Well, in the Buddhist term, which is what you're trying to approach, I think, here, there's
no, I'm saying
ultimate
that,
reality, I'm saying, and there's relative reality.
I'm talking about relative reality. In that relative reality, you have to have laws that you abide by.
Material
realm. As a tribes on a planet.
Yeah, but
and
what's the nature of those rules?
In other words,
it can be autocratic, it can be socialistic, it can be communistic.
It has to be, point to a certain type of individual that wants everything. Whereas, you know, socialism, it's kind of basic things that only. It doesn't take into account the personality poisons that we get drawn up and involved in, is emotions, negative emotions, hatred, and desires. And
it's all irrelevant. Don't forget, our society in America is like the Jews in the concentration camps, in the death camps waiting for the gas chamber. So if that is the case for us in America right now,
well, you see,
all of these lofty ideas that you're discussing are irrelevant, really, for
well,
us
said,
right
That's what
now.
I said. There's got to be a capital, there's got to be, a, what do they call it, capital punishment?
What? What's capital punishment got to do with any of this?
Well, it's bringing up groundwork, a rule book, of laws that we apply to people who don't want